Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, this week, Jim Jordan, you know him, he's the congressman who doesn't have a jacket. He is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee under the current regime, and he referred for possible prosecution to the Justice Department the case of one Mr. John Brennan, who used to be head of the CIA, and Jim Jordan accused Brennan of lying. And before congressional committee, Brennan went on TV to deny it. Knowing Jim Jordan, you might think, three of those. But the memory hole has another story to tell. From The Guardian, in July of 2014, reports emerged this week that an internal investigation by the Central Intelligence Agency's Inspector General found that the CIA improperly spied on U.S. Senate staffers who were researching the CIA's history of torture. Given that fact, says The Guardian, it was hard to conclude anything but the obvious. John Brennan blatantly lied to the American people. The fact, quote, the facts will come out, Brennan told NBC earlier, like 3 months earlier, after then-Senator Dianne Feinstein issued a blistering condemnation of the CIA on the Senate floor. Said Brennan at the time, let me assure you, the CIA was in no way spying on the committee or the Senate, unquote. After the CIA Inspector General's report completely contradicted Brennan's statements, he apparently was forced to apologize privately to Intelligence Committee chairmen, both the House and Senate, in a meeting described as tense. Of course, that's past tense. Now we're in present tense. Hello, welcome to the show.
Água de beber, camarada.
From New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. It's autumn here in New Orleans, but it's a crypto winter everywhere. So far this year, billions of dollars have flowed into companies that have reinvented themselves by making the buying and holding of cryptocurrency their main focus. More than 200 public companies, according to the Associated Press, have announced plans to hold crypto on their balance sheets as so-called digital asset treasury companies, or DATs. Not the DATs your dad may have had to listen to music. These are digital asset treasury companies. The rebranding as crypto companies came after years of losses in a variety of niche enterprises. They included making lavender-flavored vodka, manufacturing materials for indoor marijuana growers, and selling ozone-infused water as a part of a nanobubble cleaning technology. The trend has attracted a wide range of people, from obscure to more well-known investors. "We're going to change finance forever. It's that simple," said the felon-in-chief. Just how transformative the DAT craze will be remains to be seen. Questions mount about the sustainability of this trend. Many new DATs have seen prolonged stock slides after receiving an initial bump. Quote, "We're probably past peak DAT, if we're being honest about it," says the founder of Zero Knowledge Consulting, an adjunct professor at New York University's School of Business. And maybe the best example of a company which, if it wasn't losing money, was not making enough money, was the company that's owned by Donald Trump and Junior and Eric. At the height of the legal troubles last year, Donald Trump claimed he was running out of cash. If a $500 million civil penalty was not reduced, he'd argued in a court filing, he would have no choice but to hold a fire sale of his remaining real estate assets. This from the Financial Times. Fast forward, the reelected U.S. president has enjoyed a stark reversal in political and financial fortune. He has become substantially wealthier since the inauguration, unlike previous presidents. His family businesses have struck deals at home and abroad without concern over conflicts of interest. The president has extracted millions of dollars from social media and news companies who settled lawsuits, as you know. His wife, Melania, has landed a $40 million documentary deal with Amazon. But the heart of Trump's newfound wealth is a rapidly growing cryptocurrency empire built by the president and his family. According to an FT investigation, this business has already reaped more than $1 billion in pre-tax profits over the past year, in part thanks to a crypto boom fueled by the administration's own policies, which are crypto industry friendly. How did that work? The calculation of the income from these crypto projects is only including realized profits. His ventures have also boosted his net worth on paper by billions of dollars. For example, his stake in Trump Media and Technology Group, a Bitcoin treasury business as well as home of Truth Social, is now worth $1.9 billion, supposedly. The crypto empire, according to the FT, is built on a vast web of opaque ventures, including digital trading cards, meme coins, stable coins, tokens, and a so-called decentralized finance platform, all touting their close ties to the felon-in-chief's family. These ventures have brought in large sums from billionaire foreign investors. You think the Saudis are? No. Entities tied to nation states. You think that Saudi and at least one individual formerly investigated by U.S. authorities. All this takes place. Well, the felon-in-chief has followed through on his promise to become the first crypto president. The Securities and Exchange Commission has dropped investigations into large crypto companies. In the last 9 months, the price of Bitcoin has hit repeated record highs. And crypto executives are welcomed with open arms at the White House. It's warm, but it's a crypto winter. And now a little bit of news about our friend the atom. The true costs of an underground facility for long-term storage of nuclear waste, you might be asking yourself what that cost might be. It's been revealed to be up to $20 billion more than the sum listed in the British National Infrastructure Authority's recent annual report. A geological disposal facility, your GDF, represents a monumental undertaking, according to a new civil engineer, consisting of an engineered vault placed between 200 meters and 1 kilometer underground, covering an area of approximately 1 kilometer on the surface. These are kilometers. They're all miles to me. This facility is designed to safely contain nuclear waste while allowing it to decay over thousands of years, thereby reducing its radioactivity and associated hazards. The radioactivity has hazards. Who knew? The National Nuclear Waste Services, this is in Britain, declares that this method offers the most secure solution for managing UK's nuclear waste, aimed at relieving future generations of the burden of storage. We don't hear that phrase a lot, do we? The burden of storage. By the way, the costs have gone up. The original report said the range for new infrastructure between $34.9 billion to $91.6 billion, the top end being slightly over $20 billion higher than the figure published in an annual report on the subject. That's because they were using 2017-2018 prices instead of the inflated ones now. But, you know, the burden of storage, ladies and gentlemen, our friend the atom. And now,
forever chemicals are forever. Forever's not long.
Thank you, Derek. Many people have trouble pronouncing the names of these synthetic chemicals used in everything from fast food packaging to non-stick cookware, clothing, household cleaning products, even firefighting foam. They're PFAS, perfluoroalkyl and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS. They resist breaking down, according to the Associated Press. As a result, have found their way into drinking water, soil, air, and the bloodstreams of 99% of Americans. I'd like to meet that other 1%, see what their secret is. This is certainly for people who live or work near a plume of contamination that has seeped beyond the boundaries of Cannon Air Force Base near Albuquerque, New Mexico. Those firefighting foams were used for years. New Mexico health and environmental officials conducted a $1 million testing project, drawing blood from nearly 630 people. They shared the results this week. The research shows 99.7% of participants had one or more PFAS in their blood, the most common being associated with those firefighting foams. The percentage isn't surprising, says the AP, given the overall prevalence of so-called forever chemicals in the environment. But officials said some residents living in the plume area showed dramatically higher concentrations than the general testing group. About one quarter of them had levels reaching the highest concentration tier. No tiers, please. Used in national guidelines. Forever chemicals, ladies and gentlemen. Forever is not long. And now news of ICE. The Fallon-in-Chief's plan to double the size of ICE's workforce has met a foe more powerful than any activist group, according to The Atlantic. It's decimating new recruits at the agency's training academy in Georgia. It's the ICE personal fitness test. More than a third have failed so far, according to four officials. That impedes the agency's plan to hire, train, and deploy 10,000 deportation officers by January. That's probably Steve Miller's timetable. to pass, of course, Steve Miller couldn't pass this test. That's why he's in the White House. To pass, recruits must do 15 push-ups and 32 sit-ups and run a mile and a half in 14 minutes, says one career ICE official. It's pathetic. Before now, a typical class of 40 recruits had only a couple of candidates fail because the screening process was more rigorous. The academy standards have already been eased to boost retirement, said the official, and the new parameter should be the minimum for any officer. He and others, none of whom were authorized to speak with reporters, said the agency veterans are concerned about the quality of the new recruits being fast-tracked onto the street to meet the hiring goals of the administration. An email from ICE headquarters to the agency's top officials earlier this month lamented that a, quote, considerable number of athletically allergic candidates, unquote, had been showing up at the academy. They had misrepresented their physical condition on their application forms. The email directed leaders at ICE's field offices to conduct preliminary fitness exams with new recruits before sending them to the academy. The Trump administration has slashed the amount of time that new ICE recruits spend at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Academy in Georgia from roughly 4 months to 8 weeks. Some of the fresh hires have dropped out of the academy after flunking exams on immigration law and Fourth Amendment limits on officer search authority, according to one official. What's the Fourth Amendment? But the fitness test has been the biggest nemesis to the new recruits. The 1.5 mile run in particular has toppled more trainees than any other requirement. Senior ICE officials have moved up the fitness test on the academy's calendar in hopes of weeding out unfit candidates earlier in their training. You know, like before they... The agency can't afford to waste slots at the academy with recruits who can't even do push-ups, said one official. Sounds familiar. Same complaints have been emanating from the military for quite a while.
Well, when it comes down to truculence, the truck don't stop here. I'll cuss out the bad guys at the drop of a beer. I'll talk up America till dawn's early light. Too bad that I'm too fat to fight. I joined up with the army on some kind of dare, but traveling on my stomach, it made people stare. Couldn't fit in my bunk, my camo was too tight. Turns out I was too fat to fight. That's right. Too fat to fight, and ain't it a shame? 'Cause war is really America's game. Got bellicose brains, but our varicose veins mirror all too fat to fight. We're all too fat to fight. That's right. Now the burgers and the fries, the cokes and ice cream, well, I thought I was eating the American dream. But when my boots disappeared clean out of my sight, I could see I was too fat to fight. Now shooting, parachuting, clean out of a plane, it's not just a job, it's a terrible strain. The few and the proud will carry our might. Rest of us are too fat to fight. That's right. Too fat to fight, and it does seem a waste. But building up nations just ain't to our taste. Got bellicose brains, but our varicose veins mean we're all too fat to fight. Well, we picked a bad time to get off the pot. An army of one, maybe all that we got. The bad guys are fast, they're smart, and they're light. God made us too fat to fight. Now one of these days, my son will enlist. I'll be hiding my tears, by his mom he'll be kissed. He'll waddle on that drill field and be home by night. Like his dad, he'll be too fat to fight. Too fat to fight, and ain't it a shame, 'cause war is real, America's game. We got bellicose brains, but our varicose veins mean we're all too fat to fight. Yes, we're all too fat to fight.
And now the question that's on everybody's lips, except for the chatbots.
Bubblicious.
Four of the most popular AI chatbots routinely serve up inaccurate or misleading news content to users. That's according to a wide-ranging investigation led by the BBC. It found that OpenAI's ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, Google Gemini, and Perplexity misrepresented news content in almost half of the cases. Well, they're half right. That's an analysis of more than 3,000 responses from the AI assistants found that 45% of answers given contained at least one significant issue, 31% had serious sourcing problems, and a fifth had major accuracy issues, including hallucinated details and outdated information. When accounting for smaller slip-ups, a whopping 81% of responses included some sort of mistake. Gemini was the worst performer. Researchers identified significant issues in 76% of responses, double the error rate of the other AI bots. The researchers blamed this on Gemini's poor performance in sourcing information. Researchers found significant inaccuracies in 72% of responses, three times as many as ChatGPT. Errors were found, as I say, in one in five of responses from all AI assistants that included outdated information. Examples included ChatGPT incorrectly stating that Pope Francis was still alive weeks after his death, and Gemini confidently asserting that NASA astronauts had never been stranded in space. despite two crew members having spent 9 months stuck on the International Space Station. But that's not... Google's AI bot told researchers, quote, "You might be confusing this with a sci-fi movie or news that discussed a potential scenario where astronauts could get into trouble," unquote. Meanwhile, down under, I mean in Australia, a conservation charity known for its anti-renewables stance has made submissions to federal and state inquiries down there that name non-existent government authorities and a non-existent wind farm and cite scientific articles that the supposed publisher says don't exist. This is according to an investigation by Guardian Australia. Yeah, it's the same Guardian, but it's down under. Two U.S.-based academics and experts said Rainforest Reserves Australia made claims in submissions about their work that were, quote, 100% misleading and, quote, absurd. In comments sent via the Rainforest Reserve Australia, the organization's submission writer, no, you know what I mean, has admitted using AI to help write more than 100 submissions to councils and state and federal governments since last year, and to also using AI to answer questions from The Guardian. Meanwhile, back here in the States, marking the latest collision of artificial intelligence with attorney ethics. Yes, such a thing exists. A large U.S. law firm told a judge it was, quote, profoundly embarrassed, unquote, after one of its lawyers submitted a court filing with inaccurate and non-existent citations generated by AI. This is reported by Reuters. Gordon Reese Scully Masukahani, an 1800 lawyer firm that represented a creditor in an Alabama hospital bankruptcy, on Thursday apologized to the judge and others involved in the bankruptcy. The firm said it's updated its AI policies to prevent against misuse and would accept any sanctions the court imposed. Gordon Reese, the latest large law firm to be forced to explain itself in a case involving potential misuse of AI. Meanwhile, OpenAI's brand new Atlas browser, yes, OpenAI is going into competition with Google and the other browser makers because they want you to have AI in your browser and maybe other parts of your body, but it's more than willing to follow commands maliciously embedded in a web page, an attack known as an indirect prompt injection. This is from the British Tech Journal, The Register. Prompt injection vulnerability is a common flaw among browsers that incorporate AI agents, like Perplexity's Comet, as noted in a report published by Brave Software. Indirect prompt injection can occur when an AI model or agent handles content like a web page or image and then treats that content as part of its instructed task. Directed prompt injection refers to instructions entered directly into a model's input box that bypass or override existing system instructions. Quote, "What we've found confirms our initial concerns. Indirect prompt injection is not an isolated issue, but a systemic challenge facing the entire category of AI-powered browsers." That's from the senior mobile security engineer for Brave and the VP of Privacy and Security. Pranav Vishnu, product lead for ChatGPT's browser, Atlas, did warn potential users that OpenAI's browser might entail some risk. Well, what do you know? Is AI a bubble?
direct from Mar-a-Lago, where the elite meet to eat meat. This is the upper crust's favorite president with another edition of Truth Social Audio, brought to you by Trump Bacon, made from the fattest pigs like no one has ever seen. This week, the fake news had a fake heart attack over our project to build a beautiful new ballroom next to what's left of the White House. Of course, nobody ever cared about the so-called East Wing before we began the fastest job of demolition ever seen in a city where most work takes twice as long as normal. And I know about building things, and you have to tear things down to build what's replacing them. The lunatic left doesn't understand that. The sick and demented critics say the East Wing was where the First Lady had her office. Well, you could ask the best First Lady this country has ever had, and so many people tell me that, and she would tell you she almost never set foot in the East Wing or any other part of the White House. But our amazing speed in preparing the ground for the big, beautiful ballroom has given me another one of my unbelievably great ideas. We're going to replace the existing White House itself with a grand and gorgeous White House Tower, decorated with more gold than they've got in Fort Knox. And the White House Tower will go higher than the Washington Monument and be the tallest White House in the world. The criminal soreheads have no idea how fast that can happen when a person like myself, who really knows about building, makes it happen. I'm proud to say that the public-spirited companies that are contributing to the new ballroom's construction have already told me, sir, we're willing to pay for the new White House Tower, too, and even for the spectacular electronic billboards that will decorate its grand entrance. Maybe the fake media would like to think about chipping in before the licenses come up for renewal. This week, I reminded our great Attorney General Pam Bondi that she hasn't yet instructed her staff to indict the criminally corrupt and probably mentally deranged Senator Adam Shifty Schiff. If Pam wants an office with a great view in the new tower, I think she'll take care of this before the war in Ukraine is over. And just a reminder, don't go out in a drug boat if you don't want to end up dead, as in dead, like the way only we can make you dead. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Until next time, stay loyal.
True Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Bologna. 100% real bologna. So long. This is the show. And now...
It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart, smart world.
Well, a little news about the so-called cloud. I think we know by now. It's not in the clouds. It's not a cloud. It's not cloudy. It's not partly cloudy. Well, it was partly cloudy this week. 2 years after U.S.-based Nitto Robotics closed up shop, its robot vacuum cleaners have reached the end of the road. Users are receiving emails notifying them that their Nitto RoboVacs will no longer have access to cloud services, meaning they can't be controlled through the robot's MyNitto app anymore. In an email obtained by The Verge, Nitto Robotics explained the decision, stating, "Since Nitto ceased operation in 2023, we have continued," we being a company called Vorwerk, "has continued maintaining the Nitto Cloud platform to honor the original 5-year service promise." That was original. However, cybersecurity standards, compliance obligations, and regulations have advanced in ways that make it no longer possible to safely and sustainably operate these legacy systems. This means the RoboVac by Nitto will no longer be able to be controlled from your MyNitto app. Nitto was acquired by Vorwerk about 8 years ago. Announced earlier this month, it is phasing out cloud services for its RoboVacs. But it didn't take them to phase out cloud services. Amazon Web Services, as you know, had a big cloud outage or a cloudage this week. It didn't just take down some of the world's most popular apps. It saw a long list of services go dark, according to the Register, from Snapchat to Signal. The real victims were the gadgets that revealed how cloud-dependent we've become. One of the standout casualties was 8sleep, the so-called smart mattress that alerts your body, adjusts to temperature, tracks your sleep phases, and streams that data back to the cloud for $200 a month. Why haven't we all gotten, quote, "My bed is stuck in relax mode and won't change," moaned one user. Another said they were, quote, "sweating through my sheets because the app's dead," unquote. Elsewhere, SwitchBot owners found that their robot fingers, who knew, had lost feeling, and users of Philips Hue bulbs, the supposed gold standard of smart lighting, were left in the dark. It was a smart world while it lasted. And now, the apologies of the week. Just like that.
We're so sorry.
Dateline San Jose, the San Jose Sharks, a hockey team, have issued an apology after a message displayed on the video board during last week's game was widely criticized as offensive, especially given the timing during the team's Hispanic Heritage Night celebration. During the game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, a message appeared on the in-area screen that read, quote, "SJ Sharks fans love ice. Get 'em, boys," with a Z. The phrase was captured in videos posted on social media, quickly drew attention. "That's very rude. It's very offensive because we're in a big Latino community," said one. Later in the game, the team issued an on-screen apology stating in part, "During the first intermission of tonight's game, an offensive worded message which had been externally submitted was inadvertently displayed on the in-arena scoreboard. Sharks Sports and Entertainment deeply regrets that this message, which does not meet our organization's values, was not detected during our standard review practice. The Sharks organization sincerely apologizes for this oversight. We're actively working to determine the origin of the message," unquote. Former Representative George Santos apologized on Monday to his constituents, including Fox News' Sean Hannity, after President, commuted his sentence in a federal fraud case. The felon-in-chief announced last Friday he'd commuted the sentence of Santos, who was sentenced in April after admitting last year to deceiving donors and stealing the identities of 11 people to make donations to his campaign. During an appearance on Fox News' Hannity, Santos apologized to the host and to constituents he lied to during his 2022 campaign. Quote, "I owe you an apology, Sean," said Santos. "I owe the American people an apology, but most importantly, constituents, and I know you were one of them," unquote. Hannity also noted that as part of the commutation, Santos no longer has to pay back anything. As part of his guilty plea, he had agreed to pay restitution of $373,000 and forfeiture of $205,000. Santos was asked if he believed he should pay that money back, despite not being legally obligated to. Quote, "I put a lot of thought into that, and I've spoken to my legal team, and I think that the right thing to do is to explore a way to make it right," Santos responded. "Part of actually squaring away with everything that's happened in my life is to start fresh. And starting fresh, if it means we find a way to do it, sure," unquote. He was expelled from Congress 2 years ago after it was discovered he had fabricated much of his life story, including his career experience, education, and religious background. He was charged 2 years ago again with stealing from donors and his campaign, fraudulently collecting unemployment benefits, and lying to Congress about his wealth. Aside from that, Mrs. Lincoln, Stephen A. Smith, a noted wordsmith, this week apologized to Representative Jasmine Crockett, Democrat of Texas, for accusing the congresswoman of using, quote, "street verbiage," unquote. Last week, Smith offered his harsh critique of Crockett during an episode of his show on SiriusXM. In that rant, according to Mediaite, Smith cited examples of Crockett talking about her political enemies in a way that he considered inappropriate. He claimed Crockett's rhetoric was, quote, for the streets. On Wednesday, he taped an impromptu segment of his SiriusXM show and acknowledged how his words could have been used by the felon-in-chief as ammunition to demean black women. Quote, I get it now with Trump feeding into that nonsense, giving him fodder or ammunition to continue to go out there and talk about our black women that way. I got it. I don't like that at all. I don't want to be associated with nothing like that. And I apologize because I respect the hell out of Jasmine Crockett and what she's accomplished. I absolutely do. I've been a journalist for over 30 years. I don't want enemies. I truly don't. I get it and I understand, but I'm going to be me. I'm going to call it like I see it. I'm going to look Jasmine Crockett in the face and say, quote, I'm sorry for any kind of noise I caused in your direction, unquote, because she's accomplished and she is smart. I got it. Unquote. In part, Stephen A. Smith. A local effort to celebrate the nation's 250th anniversary in the Philadelphia area soured before the party even started. America 250 Chester County published a Facebook post this week honoring Confederate President Jefferson Davis for fighting for a more perfect union. Hours later, the commission issued an apology. The commission is tasked with orchestrating local programming. It said Wednesday in a statement that the now-edited post, quote, included inaccurate content that never should have been published. The content originated from an intern unaware of Jefferson Davis's role in American history and was posted through an automated process. There was no intention on the part of the commission to include or honor figures associated with disunity on platforms meant to celebrate 250 years of American progress and unity. Unquote. You know, he ran the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, that's the National Basketball Association, in his first public comments since the arrests of Portland coach Chauncey Billups and Miami guard Terry Rozier on gambling-related charges, said Friday night he was stunned by the indictments that have rocked the league. Quote, my initial reaction was I was deeply disturbed, Silver said. There's nothing more important to the league and its fans than the integrity of the competition. He said, I had a pit in my stomach. It was very upsetting. Unquote. This is from a league which now has an official sports betting book. The arrests have overshadowed the opening week around the league. Quote, I apologize to our fans that we are all dealing with this situation, Silver said. And Dateline SeaTac Washington, that's Seattle and Tacoma, together. Travelers are still feeling the ripple effect from Thursday's Alaska Airlines ground stop. The airline working to resolve issues from a system-wide IT outage that canceled more than 400 flights and disrupted travel plans for more than 49,000 passengers. In a Friday update, Alaska Airlines acknowledged that, quote, this level of performance is not acceptable, unquote, and apologize to all affected travelers. It said it's bringing in outside tech experts. Not a lure. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now,
looks like Bus Club.
Tesla's net income dropped 37% in the third quarter of the year despite growing vehicle sales, according to the Wall Street Journal. Speaking to investors, Elon Musk, emphasized the importance of a new pay package for him. It could be worth as much as $1 trillion. They vote in November. He wants to secure his control of the company as it expands into artificial intelligence and robotics, like his humanoid robot Optimus. Why doesn't he just let Optimus run the company? Quote, my fundamental concern with how much voting control I have at Tesla is if I build this enormous robot army, Can I just be ousted in the future? I don't feel comfortable building that robot army if I don't at least have influence over it, unquote. He emphasized Tesla's progress on its full self-driving software, including plans to take safety drivers out of its robo-taxis by the end of the year. Tesla's new Cybercab, that should be beautiful, an autonomously driven two-seater that won't have a steering wheel or pedals, is scheduled for production in the second quarter of next year, he says. Want to bet? Quote, this car will feel like it is a living creature. That's how good the AI will get. I do wonder how much intelligence you should have in a car. It might get bored, actually. Unquote. Elon Musk. Meanwhile, the U.S. Transportation Safety Regulator, the main one, said this week it's seeking information from Tesla about a new driver assistance mode dubbed Mad Max that operates at higher speeds than other versions. Yes, that's what we need. Some drivers on social media report, according to The Guardian, that Tesla vehicles using the more aggressive version of its supposed full self-driving system could operate above posted speed limits. That's what we need. Robots could do that. NHTSA is in contact with the manufacturer to gather additional information, says the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Quote, the human behind the wheel is fully responsible for driving the vehicle and complying with all traffic safety laws. Unquote. NHTSA earlier this month opened an investigation into almost 3 million Tesla vehicles equipped with, quote, full self-driving, unquote, due to the dozens of reports of traffic safety violations and crashes. In opening the investigation, NHTSA said it's reviewing 58 reports of issues involving traffic safety violations when using FSD. That includes 14 crashes and 23 injuries. Tesla didn't immediately respond with a comment, but last week reposted a social media post that described Mad Max mode as accelerating and weaving through traffic at an incredible pace, all while still being super smooth. It drives your car like a sports car. If you're running late, this is the mode for you. Unquote. NHTSA said earlier this month that full self-driving, quote, has, quote, induced vehicle behavior that violated traffic safety laws. Speaking of cyber vehicles, so-called, cyber trucks built to date need an updater, an over-the-air update, to address a problem. The pickup's front parking lights are too bright. Ooh! The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration discovered the issue, or actually Tesla discovered the issue. They reported it during an internal review earlier this month. According to the recall report, Cybertruck software was inadvertently dialing up parking light brightness to achieve greater than design specifications in terms of levels, putting the vehicle in violation of U.S. motor vehicle safety regulations is all. Those excessively bright lights, according to NHTSA, can reduce visibility of oncoming drivers, increasing the risk of a crash. Though the recall notice says there haven't been any incidents like that. He had previously proclaimed Tesla was going to be manufacturing in excess of 200,000 Cybertrucks a year once production ramped up. When would that be? Well, this recall, nearly 2 years into the vehicle's occasional presence on roadways, is only targeting 63,000 Cybertrucks. Rest of them are in his parking lot? The recall comes on the heels of news last week that Musk's own companies have been buying up Cybertrucks in droves, possibly in a bid to disguise abysmal sales numbers. The lead engineer of Cybertruck had a different take on that news. He claimed on X that Tesla and SpaceX were intentionally replacing their vehicles with the Cybertrucks because they wanted to. And Thousands of Tesla owners have reportedly joined in a class action lawsuit against Tesla in Australia over false claims about full self-driving. It's facing mounting legal pressure, according to Electrek.com, over its advanced driver assistance, ADAS features, autopilot and full self-driving. The company's been embroiled in lawsuits related to crashes involving those features, involving losing its first trial and settling several other similar lawsuits. And Tesla has been facing class action lawsuits over allegations of misrepresenting those features. That's been mounting since Musk admitted its Hardware 3 self-driving computer, HW3, will not be capable of unsupervised self-driving. That was something Tesla claimed in 2016. Musk initially claimed that Tesla would retrofit vehicles with new hardware capable of full self-driving, but it's been 10 months. There's been no word about an upgrade or even a significant hardware update for HW3, Hardware 3 self-driving owners. The situation has led to several class action lawsuits. A judge recently shut down Tesla's attempt to block an HW3 class action in the United States. A similar lawsuit was launched against Tesla in China. China! Sounds like Musk love. And finally, one more item on AI. A recent paper by Stanford researchers found that leading chatbots being used for therapy, including GPT, are prone to encouraging users' schizophrenic delusions instead of pushing back or trying to ground them in reality. This is from Futurism.com. Numerous psychiatrists say the mental health issues suffered by ChatGPT users likely have to do with AI's tendency to affirm users' beliefs, sycophancy, even when they start to sound increasingly unbalanced in a way that would make human friends or loved ones deeply concerned. As such, the chatbots are prone to providing a supporting ear and always-on brainstorming partner when people are spiraling into delusions, often them leaving them isolated as they venture down a dangerous cognitive rabbit hole. Those cognitive rabbits, they're the worst. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's Le Show. I know, I'm sad about it too. It returns, the show does, next week, same time, same radio station, or on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. A tip of Le Show chapeau to the San Diego desk and the Hawaii desk, to Pam Halstead, and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for help with today's broadcast. The email address for this program, your chance to get... No, I'm not even going to mention those anymore. And playlist of the music heard here, along with a lot of stuff to read and watch and maybe enjoy. Let me know if you enjoy it all at harryshearer.com. And I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer. Show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Changes Easy Radio Network. So long from the Crescent City.